The next part of our program is a video Bible drama. Please bear in mind that no one is allowed on or around the stage or near the video monitors to take pictures or video recordings of the drama. Although taking pictures or video recordings from your seat is permitted, please be considerate of others around you by not disturbing them or blocking their view with your device. And please, do not use flash or other forms of electronic lighting. The drama is in the style of a stage play. Thus, some of the sets and props may resemble those used on a theater stage. We know you'll benefit from this presentation of some of the fascinating accounts recorded in the Gospels. Watch and listen to part one of this year's drama entitled, For a Certainty, God Made Him Lord and Christ.
Nights are getting cooler now.
Yes, you're right. We may have to go look for more firewood soon.
May Jehovah have mercy on us.
What's happening?
Is it sun up already?
Are they angels?
Do not be afraid. For look, I am declaring to you good news of a great joy that all the people will have. For today, there was born to you in David's city a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. Glory in the heights above to God, and on earth, peace among men of goodwill.
Glory in the heights above to God, and on earth, peace among men of goodwill. Glory in the heights above to God, and on earth, peace.
Brothers, let us by all means go over to Bethlehem and see what's taking place.
Soon it'll be dawn. Let's gather the flock and go now.
May you have peace. My name is Messapur, and I am that shepherd boy, 40 years older. Yes, I was there when the angels announced the birth of the Messiah. Later, I became one of Jesus' followers, and I came to be an overseer in the Christian congregation in Jerusalem. You may think that after seeing with my own eyes a multitude of angels announcing the birth of Jesus, my faith would be rock solid. In reality, over the past 40 years, I have had to strengthen my faith constantly by reminding myself of the reasons why I believe. How do I know that Jesus is the Messiah? How do I know that Christians have the truth? Jehovah does not want worship that is based on blind belief or credulity. You too can benefit by asking yourself, how do I know that Jehovah's Witnesses have the truth? You see, over time, the anxieties of life can blur our spiritual vision. As the years go by, we could lose our zeal and our worship could become perfunctory. That happened to me. come with me, and I'll tell you more about it. Seeing the infant Jesus was indeed a great honor. But he was exactly that, an infant, a helpless human baby. This newborn appeared to be no different from any other newborn. As the weeks and months went by, I began to ask myself, could this infant, as beautiful as he is, really be the promised Messiah? It is difficult to explain, but with the passing of time, I just stopped thinking about the miracle that I'd witnessed with my own eyes as a young shepherd that night the angels appeared. Jesus grew up to be a healthy and well-behaved boy. In many ways, he seemed to be like any other boy. Here he is, at about 7 years of age, playing with his friends. Can you tell which boy is Jesus? Surely you cannot. Although 7 years have passed since the angels announced his birth, still, there is no clear evidence of the Messiah's arrival. The young child continued growing and getting stronger, being filled with wisdom. Clearly, God's favor was upon him. He learned to be a carpenter, working with his father, Joseph. 12 years have passed. Indeed, a long time. Yet, I fail to see God's Holy Spirit operating on Jesus in the same manner that it had operated on the prophets of old, such as Moses and Elijah. So I started doubting again. Until one day, after I had begged Jehovah for more faith, he made me remember. Yes, I remembered what the angels had said when they appeared right before my eyes 12 years earlier. And I remembered some of the inspired prophecies that were so accurately fulfilled by Jesus' birth. I had no reason to doubt. There was plenty of evidence pointing to Jesus as the promised Messiah. All I had to do was wait. Yes, wait on Jehovah. Then, when I least expected it, something did happen. Come with me and I'll tell you all about it.
Caleb, you were supposed to be here an hour ago. We were about to begin without you.
Please forgive me, and I am thankful for your patience. I would hate to miss today's discussion. How is the boy this morning?
The boy? For a 12-year-old, he indeed continues to surprise me with his knowledge.
Surprise is not the word. We're amazed by his understanding and his questions.
Jesus, please, sit here in the middle so we can hear you better.
I'm eager to learn from you. Duel was just reading to me from one of the prophecies regarding the Messiah. May I ask you about the coming of the Messiah?
Young man, are you sure you want to consider such deep things from the Scriptures? These prophecies are quite complex, and there's still much debate over their meaning. What questions in particular do you have about the Messiah?
First, what is God's purpose for the Messiah?
Oh, that's an easy one, my son. I'm holding here a scroll of Isaiah. Here it says, "To the increase of his rulership and to peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and on his kingdom, in order to establish it firmly and to sustain it through justice and righteousness from now on and forever."
Yes, it is quite clear that the Messiah will rule over God's people. He will liberate us from Gentile oppression, reestablish the Davidic throne, and bring everlasting peace.
May I see the scroll, please? This is a beautiful passage. I especially like this part, where it says, "For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, and the rulership will rest on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace."
Yes, Eternal Father, Eternal Peace.
But that leads me to another question. If the Messiah comes to liberate us and to rule over us forever, why is it that here, just a few lines earlier, Isaiah speaks of the Messiah as a stumbling rock to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem? And did Isaiah not prophesy also that the Messiah would be cut off from the land of the living, crushed to death, and counted among the transgressors? What does all of this mean?
Jesus was then only 12 years old. His parents were accustomed to go from year to year to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. On this particular occasion, when the days of the festival were over and Joseph and Mary were returning home, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not notice it. They assumed that he was in the group that was traveling together, so they went a day's journey before they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances. Not finding him, Joseph and Mary returned to Jerusalem and made a diligent search for him. That is how, after 3 days, they found him here in the temple, in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. But all those listening to him were in constant amazement at his understanding and his answers. Jesus had a perfect mind. He was able to remember what he had been taught from infancy about his heavenly Father and the history of his people. At this young age, Jesus already had phenomenal understanding of the scriptures. Those of us who observed him should have seen that this was no ordinary boy.
The young man has asked a very good question. Caleb, Duel, go on, give him an answer.
My son, these are the mysteries only God can answer. Also, you need to keep in mind that not every single word of these prophecies can be taken literally.
Please, excuse my questions, but if these prophecies are not always meant to be taken literally, how do you know that the Messiah will be a real person and not a symbol of something else?
My brothers, the boy's questions are valid. Jesus, do you have an opinion on these matters?
My parents have taught me that the Messiah is real, but might his mission, his life, and his work in this land prove to be quite different than what is widely expected? I understand that in the end, people of all nations will be blessed by means of the Messiah.
I myself am old. I can only hope to see that day come. When do you think the Messiah will come?
My honorable teachers, I've also been taught that Jehovah our Father has placed the times and seasons within his own jurisdiction. In the meantime, I strive to draw closer to the Creator, doing the things he has commanded.
Never has a young lad spoken with such wisdom.
This is the synagogue in Nazareth. One of many synagogues throughout Israel, and in other lands too. It is customary for the Jews to congregate in these buildings, to read the scriptures, to pray, and to praise God. In some synagogues, a chest like this one was kept to store scrolls of the holy writings. It was Jesus' custom on the Sabbath day to come to this synagogue in Nazareth and read. Likely it was here, in this synagogue, that Jesus for the first time read portions of God's inspired word. I imagine young Jesus coming to this synagogue to examine the holy writings carefully and to meditate on them. Jesus had a flawless memory, even as a child. So imagine how much he must have learned. I can also picture young Jesus, perhaps 13 or 14 years old, standing before his teachers in the synagogue and reading publicly from the scriptures.
Listen, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah. You must love Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. These words that I am commanding you today must be on your heart, and you must inculcate them in your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a reminder on your hand, and they must be like a headband on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Years went by. Jesus became a mature man, known in the community as the carpenter, son of Joseph. He was a skilled craftsman and a hard worker. He was also quite pleasant and likable, and he had outstanding wisdom. But during all that time, his wisdom went mostly unnoticed. Jesus did not make any disciples. Neither did he become a disciple of any of the rabbinic schools. He was virtually unknown. He had performed no miracles. Nothing obvious pointed to him as the Messiah, until one day when he was baptized in the waters of the River Jordan. As he was praying, he saw the heavens being parted, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form like a dove came down upon him, and God's own voice came out of heaven.
You are my son, the beloved. I have approved you.
This was undeniable evidence of Jesus' messiahship. Jehovah's own voice identifying Jesus as the Savior. When I heard about it, it stirred deep emotions within me. It strengthened my faith. And I was convinced that for a certainty, God had made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Shortly after Jesus' baptism, he began a preaching campaign in the districts of Galilee and Judea. The word about his wisdom and his miracles spread throughout the land, and the people in his hometown of Nazareth had great expectations for him. About a year after his baptism, he returned to Nazareth and made a very important statement. It happened in this synagogue where he had worshipped as a youth. Please, observe and see it with your own eyes.
The scroll of Isaiah the prophet reads, Jehovah's Spirit is upon me, because he anointed me to declare good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, to send the crushed ones away free, to preach Jehovah's acceptable year. Today, this scripture that you just heard is fulfilled.
This was a momentous event. Jesus, in all his humility, finds an unpretentious way to announce publicly that he had been anointed to declare good news and to bring relief to the crushed ones and freedom to the oppressed. No wonder the people at the synagogue were amazed at hearing Jesus' words. But there was a problem. These people had false expectations. They thought that having Jesus in their midst would result in immediate physical benefits. They felt that if Jesus were truly a prophet, he would perform many miracles among them, especially because he was from their town, Nazareth. When Jesus told them that he would not be giving them special treatment, they quickly turned against him. Instantly, this crowd who had honored him became an angry mob bent on killing him.
This is no prophet. He is just another imposter.
A lowly carpenter cannot possibly be a true prophet of God. This Jesus is nothing but a deceiver, a pretender. Remove him from the synagogue. Throw him off the cliff!
How did Jesus escape the murderous mob in Nazareth? Was it a miracle? Or was it a clever trick, a product of his ingenuity? Someone still could have questioned Jesus' credentials. Someone could have doubted his authenticity as one sent by God. Indeed, if we allow doubts to take root, they can prevent us from seeing undeniable realities right in front of our eyes. In my case, during all these years, I have had to remind myself continuously to meditate on the undeniable realities that identify Jesus as the Messiah. That is how I build my faith and how I hold on to my strong conviction that I have the truth, that for a certainty, God made Jesus both Lord and Christ. Come. And see for yourself some more of this undeniable evidence.
Pardon me, good women. I heard that Jesus the Nazarene is somewhere in the area. Have you seen him?
Why are you seeking him out? Are you one of his disciples? Are you one of his servants?
My dear woman, from what I hear, the size of the crowds will not allow you to come near Jesus. Do not even dream of meeting him.
Sisters, where is your love of strangers? Please excuse the rudeness. How can we be of assistance? Come, sit here with us.
Thank you. I have an urgent need to meet the Lord Jesus.
Well, I'm not sure he's any kind of Lord, but I can tell you I've heard no reports about Jesus being around here.
Are you related to him?
No, but I heard that he's curing the sick. And I'm a very sick woman. I've suffered from a flow of blood for some 12 years. I've been unable to get a cure from anyone. And I've suffered so much at the hands of many physicians. All of my money has been spent on this dreadful condition. And after all these efforts, am I better? No. I have become worse. When I heard about Jesus and the miracles that he has performed, I knew he must be from God. I have faith in his power. He can heal me. Even if I could touch just the fringes of his outer garment. I will get well. Otherwise, I will surely die.
Teacher. Teacher, again, I plead with you. My little daughter is extremely ill. Please, come and put your hands on her so she may get well and live. Please, come to my house.
Jesus, this is Jairus, one of the presiding officers of the synagogue. He has been begging for your help.
Jairus, where is your daughter? Please, take me to her.
She is a beautiful girl. She is my only daughter. She is only 12 years old and she is dying. Please, come quickly.
I will come. Please lead the way. Who touched my outer garments? Who touched me?
Not me, my lord.
Peter, James, did one of you touch me?
No, my lord.
Jesus, surely you can see the crowds pressing in on you. And you ask, who touched me?
Someone touched me, for I know that power went out of me.
Woman, did you touch the Lord?
Please, please forgive me, my lord. It was I who touched you. I merely touched the fringes of his outer garments.
Have no fear. You've done nothing wrong. Tell me, why did you touch my garment?
My lord, I have been very ill for 12 years. Many physicians have treated me. I have spent all that I had trying to find a cure, but my condition got no better. Rather, I got worse. I've heard about you. I have faith in you. I knew that if I could just touch the fringes of your outer garment, I could get well. Forgive me. I just wanted to get well.
Take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed from your grievous sickness.
Jairus, Jairus, your daughter has died. Let me take you home. Why bother the teacher any longer?
Jairus, I am sorry about your little daughter. But have no fear. Only have faith, and she will be saved. Take me to see her. Stop weeping, for she did not die, but is sleeping. Please, move away from the house. Jairus, make sure the people stay out. You and your wife, come with me, please. Peter, James, John, come with me, please.
But Jesus, she's already dead.
I beg all of you, wait outside, please. Little girl, I say to you, get up!
Ha ha ha!
Teacher, I am forever indebted to you. My daughter, my only child, she's back. Thank you. Thank you.
Jairus, I must insist on your discretion regarding this matter. Please do not tell anyone that the girl was indeed dead and that she was brought back to life. Now this little girl is hungry. Bring her something to eat.
I have news to share with you two.
Yes, something new?
Are you pregnant?
No,
nothing like that. It has to do with what happened last week.
All the commotion in Jared's house?
Yes. And what happened with that sick woman we met.
Please, do not tell me those miracles were real. They were more likely the tricks of a magician.
You are such a skeptical woman. Not only do I believe in these miracles, but last night, my husband and I decided to join Jesus as his disciples.
I do not believe you. You are too wise to join that sect. And how is it that you are so convinced about the miracles? Think about it. How do you know the woman was really sick? All you know is what she told you. How do you know that she was really healed? And even if she was it the result of a miracle?
The sick woman seemed very sincere and factual. I do believe her. And what about Jairus' daughter? She was dead. And Jesus brought her back to life.
I was hoping you would bring that up. Remember, I was there. I saw when Jesus expelled everyone from the house. He went in with his three friends and the girl's parents. That is all. Who knows what really happened in that room?
Exactly. The girl was alive not long before Jesus arrived at the house. How do we know that she was really dead?
True. Jesus himself said that she was not dead. I heard it myself. He said, "Stop weeping, for she did not die, but is sleeping." Sleeping. So was she dead or was she sleeping?
You have little faith.
My dear friend, remember last year, the man from Shiloh who claimed to be a prophet? There were rumors of miracles. But then one day, the truth came out, and he was exposed as an imposter.
Well, I believe the woman was sick and healed by Jesus. I know Jairus' daughter was sick. I have no reason to think that anyone lied about her death. And then I saw her with my own eyes. She was eating and walking around. That is enough for me and my family. We will follow Jesus. And we will make up our own minds on this matter.
Doubts. Can you see how doubts can weaken one's faith? So what must we do if we have doubts? Ignore them? Simply not think about them? Two of these women lack faith. Their outlook was fleshly, always looking for flaws in the truth. But the one woman has a spiritual outlook. She saw enough evidence to make a decision. Rather than avoiding or ignoring the questions at hand, she reviewed in her mind what she already knew. She opened her eyes to all the evidence. And what is more? She decided to get more information and to learn more by becoming one of Christ's disciples. That is how we should deal with doubts. Resolve them. How do I know that Jesus is the Messiah? I make it a point to remember what I know to be the facts.
I remember that day, 40 years ago, when I saw and heard the angels announcing Jesus' birth. I remember when I journeyed to Bethlehem and met Mary and Joseph. When I myself saw the infant Jesus. I bring to mind the story of 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. I meditate on the miracles, the great signs that Jesus performed, establishing his credentials. And I pray to Jehovah to help me remember all the prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus. I know for a certainty that God made Jesus Lord and Christ. But this is not the end of my story. I would like to relate other accounts in Jesus' life that provide even stronger evidence of his authenticity as the Messiah. Please, come back and let me tell you some other fascinating stories.
What a stirring portrayal of our exemplar Jesus Christ.